This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Welcome to episode 227 of the BobbyCast, your favorite musical podcast. I'm trying out new slogans. I'm workshopping.
Your favorite musical podcast.
Yeah, your favorite music podcast from Nashville. We're going to do a few things here. We're going to talk about despised bands that are crazy successful. Maybe the logic as to why they're so despised. New music this week, and we'll kind of roll through some music news. Let me recommend the Luke Combs podcast, though, that we just did here. So he was at the house 4 or 5 days ago. It will be our highest streamed podcast.
Really?
We were looking at the numbers today. He's just blown up so fast.
Why are people so interested in him? Because he's so relatable?
Well, he writes first. You have to write really good songs. Mm-hmm. Like, all that other stuff comes in second. If you can't, you can have everything right and not write good songs, that's not going to work.
Yeah, and his songs are really good.
And he writes really good songs. So first and foremost, the songs. Secondly, he can sing as good as anyone else.
Yeah. I guess it's masked by the roughness of his voice, but yes, it's very controlled, so.
His texture, I mean, you know, you think of the Shays from Dan and Shay. Mm-hmm. You think of the Carries, you know, just the pure vocalist, but he's on that level. But because he's not shiny and he's a little rough, you don't really consume it the same way in your mind. And there is a little bit of to it. Also, I would say thirdly would be his appearance. The first two things aren't supposed to go with the third.
Yeah.
You don't normally look like a normal dude whenever you can sing really well and you write really good songs. It's just a rare combination.
Yeah.
You know, Stapleton's a bit of that.
Right.
Although I would say Stapleton is, he has a lot more character in his voice than he is a straight pure vocalist like Luke Combs. I would say Luke Combs can out-sing Stapleton. I'd say Stapleton's voice is probably a little stronger. Wow. I don't know. No one sings with the punch Luke Combs does in our studio. Like, just sitting there, acoustic. When Luke Combs, Sunday, it's just like sucks the wind out of you.
Yeah, and even when he talks, it's a very heavy, thick voice.
If you listen to the podcast that we did, I'm talking like this normal, but when he talks, it's right up here. And there's such a disparity in the levels, because I didn't want to get up here and do the podcast like this too.
Yeah.
So mostly it's like me sound like this.
And him sounded like this.
But yeah, it's just wild to think of Luke Combs from the beginning, because before he had a song that was ever, his first hit wasn't even a top 50 or 60 song. And I put him in my class of maybe 28, 19. And
early.
Before first hit. Before he was on the verge, before any of that. And so what's been cool about that is artists usually remember that. And I don't talk about that very often, but artists usually remember the people that kind of jumped out on them first and helped them out. And I think our relationship's been good because of that. Same with Stapleton. Him and I are cool for the same reason that we had Kris coming in to play as an artist before he had really had a big artist career.
Yeah. And it's cool to see a lot of these artists open up with you just every time you interview them. from the first time you interview them, they're kind of closed off. They don't really know what to do or what to say. But then after the third or fourth time, they're just like an open book. And I bet the Bobby cast is like, I'll just tell you whatever. Ask him whatever, he'll tell you.
You know, the great thing about this podcast is that it's just one-on-one.
Yeah.
And so they feel not pressure to perform, but when you're just talking one-on-one and you're recorded, there's a weight on you to keep it going and keep it interesting. There's nowhere to go. There's no publicist. There's no other people on the show. There's not a five-minute segment that you can just stall your way through. When people come in here, it's usually the best stuff because you're just sitting here. And sometimes I'll freeze people out and just be quiet. But just be like, yeah. And then you feel like, oh my God, I got to talk. They feel like I got to talk. And sometimes they'll start.
I just did that right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like the silence. What do I say?
They'll start chasing their tail around till they kind of catch where I want them to go.
Yeah.
And I'll let them go sometimes. Just go. We'll get it. We'll get there. There he is. He got it. So, but it was the Luke Combs podcast was really good. But today, Eddie, by the way, check out Eddie's podcast, The Sore Losers, which is a sports show with Eddie, Raymundo, and Lunchbox, and sports and also funny guy stuff.
Yeah.
So I want to get that plug in.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Which is the only reason you do this, to get your plugs.
That's the only reason I come here, yeah. You make me drive from my house to yours to do this.
Well, the studio is here. How far is your house from my house?
It's just under 30 minutes. I try to time it out perfectly. If I leave 25 minutes, I'm going to be late, like, or just right on time. So it's just right between 25 and 30 minutes. But it's weird. It's a straight shot. It feels like it should be a lot shorter, but it's not. It's not. And, there are a lot of houses for sale in your area. I might just move a little closer here. I counted like 10 houses for sale. I'm like, whoa, that's a nice one. That's a nice one. But they're probably expensive. Right?
See, that's all you got to do is sit. You just sit quietly.
And just keep going. Well, the reason I think they're expensive.
I'm just sitting here looking. But you feel how you're like, oh, God, I got to keep going.
Yeah. Ask me whatever. I'll tell you.
You know what I'll do? I'll move my head off the mic, too, like I just did you. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't look like I'm going to say anything. I'll lean my head away over here.
Just keep going. What else am I going to do?
My mouth's not even near the mic, so you know I'm not going to save you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a lot of houses for sale in here.
There really are. Shocked. Man, a lot of people moving from that, moving away, I guess.
Get you a deal.
All right. It's the perfect market.
You know what I watched today was that movie you told me to watch on Netflix? Shot in the Dark?
The Long Shot.
The Long Shot.
Yes. Short.
I got a couple things I watched. It's a 40-minute documentary about a guy who they said killed a girl.
Correct.
A 16-year-old girl.
Yes, he's accused of murdering a 16-year-old girl.
Because his brother was on trial for murder, and he went to watch it, and that girl is the one that helped put his brother away. So they just said, well, it looks like you, and you were in the courtroom. It's now you.
Yes, most importantly, it looks like you, because they just depended on a sketch that one witness that saw in the dark saw what this guy looked like, sketched it up, and this guy kind of looked like it, so they arrested him.
I'll talk about that for a second, because there were a lot of guys that looked very similar. They had like 20 sketches exactly like this dude.
Oh, yeah, Mexican-American, like you put a mustache, even on me, like right now, I probably kind of look like that dude.
Just a mustache.
Yeah, and shave my head. Yeah.
And so they put him in. And then they were actually shooting. He went to the Dodgers game, and he was like, it's the Dodgers game. But they can't.
Well, at
find
first
him.
They were just like, well, how can you prove you weren't there? He's like, I don't know. And it's funny too. Like, if you do something, a few months away, and you just tell him, what were you doing this random Thursday? I don't know if I could tell you what I was doing. I have to really think about it. And he's like, oh, yeah. I was at a Dodgers game.
Well, it may be good for me then to have every minute of every day in my calendar.
That probably does
help. I
could
probably get out of murder then pretty easy. But yeah, you're right. So he's like, yeah, I was at a Dodgers game. They put his daughter on the stand, by the way. She was 6.
Gosh, that was painful to watch.
And they asked her, what did you get? But she freaking knew it.
She did.
And so they went into the Dodgers camera system and found him, but the resolution wasn't close enough. So they're like, all right. So then Curb Your Enthusiasm is shooting there. And he happens to be in a freaking scene of Curb Your Enthusiasm. But then, there's a lot of but then, so I won't stop it there. You should watch it. It was only 45 minutes. Pretty good.
Yeah, the lawyer was just on a chase to find footage of him to prove that he was at that Dodgers game. Pretty crazy.
Larry David shows up in the documentary,
too. He does.
The whole thing, it's not a series. It's one episode. Again, less than an hour. But it's pretty good.
Yeah, the Long Shot.
I also watched, I think, 4 episodes of the Justin Bieber documentary.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
Good.
You're already starting to like Bieber a little bit.
I have been my mind has been altered of Bieber because of people that know Justin. So my girlfriend now kind of knows him a little bit. She goes to church with him. She's like, he's the greatest guy. He's super nice. Once you're like there, he's so approachable. He plays soccer with like friends. And so
you wouldn't think that by reading just the internet.
Well, I guess I would compare it to someone like, let's just compare it to someone like a Keith Urban right here in Nashville. If you know him, you can just go up to his house and hang out, and it's not a big deal. If you're already in, but if not, it's probably impossible. If you're just a fan, it's probably impossible to get to him. I like him a little bit because he's supposedly really nice and super cool. Not the same as us. The kid's been famous since he was 10, 11, 12.
Was he that young?
How old was Bieber?
Probably like 12.
You think
that baby?
Yeah.
There's a part in the maybe second episode, third episode, where he goes and they have a clip of him meeting his wife,
Haley,
for the first time. But they're like, he's like 12, she's like 11.
Wow.
And he's like, you know, I kind of remember it. He goes, I remember meeting Stephen Baldwin. And he goes, Stephen Baldwin's daughter was there. And most kids are like, ah. And she was like, what? And they show a clip and she's like half asleep and does not give a crap. She's like, yeah, okay. It's like she got drugged to a morning show to have to meet Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
And she does not care.
Can you imagine just being around famous people so much that when you see Justin Bieber, you're like, whatever.
And so they have that clip. It's pretty good. All the episodes, I bring it up because we mentioned that episode of that Netflix documentary is for this. They're only like 10 minute episodes.
Oh, that's cool.
So I think
that'll get you through a lot, I guess. Right?
Yeah. Maybe watch four of them, but and it's pretty good. I wouldn't pay the $49.99 for the whole YouTube TV service.
Yeah.
Unless I was on my computer or phone all the time, watching all my TV from my computer and phone. I guess if I were going to do what we're doing now, I'd do like, did you turn the volume up, Mike?
Oh, yeah, my bad.
No, I felt like I was a little.
Luke Combs in it over there.
I don't know that I would watch Hulu Live as my main live TV. Amazon's got pretty good live TV.
Do they?
Well, Amazon, where you can get all the channels via the app, but you can watch all the live sports through all the packages, and they're right there as part of Amazon Prime.
That's where I am right now. There's just so many options. I don't know what to do. For sure, I'm getting rid of cable. I mean, I just have to get rid of cable now. Problem is, my internet is tied to my cable, so I got to figure out a way to keep the internet.
You can do that, though.
So I'll probably do that, but man, with all the options out there of all the live TV, especially sports and my old movie channel, yeah, I'll probably end up just getting rid of cable soon.
The only things that I watch are The Office on Netflix every day, sports, and CNN. That's basically it.
You're an old man.
Yeah.
And I fart, and I watch sports, and CNN, The Office. You know what I watched that was pretty good, and I might watch the entire thing if, I don't know, see what happens. Gilmore Girls. It just came on, like one episode of Gilmore Girls.
Hey, Mike, it just came on.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Randomly.
Go ahead.
And I was like, I can get into this. The first episode got me. It's really good.
The new Gilmore Girls
from the 90s. I think it's 90s, 2000 or something, because I can tell from the music that they're using. It's pretty old.
Is that, I don't want to wait?
Mm.
Or is that
Dawson? No. That's Dawson's Creek.
That's Dawson's Creek. Something like that. I think a lot of Sarah McLachlan may be in there. I don't know. But it's definitely that soundtrack.
Why is it good though to you right now?
Because she's a single parent, and I watched Parenthood, which is a really good show too. I watched that a couple years ago. But the girl on Parenthood's in Gilmore Girls. She's one of the main girls. Lorelai, I guess, is her character. But it was just the way they set up the first pilot was really good. It was like she's a single mom, and she can't afford to pay for her daughter's school, so she asks to ask her rich parents for money. And her parents are like just distant, no connection at all, no emotional connection to her parents. But they're like, sure, we'll give you money, but we got to be more involved in your life. And they're like, da-dun. And it seemed kind of interesting, like, all right, this could go somewhere cool.
I think it went somewhere cool.
Yeah.
And it's since ended, right, Mike?
Yeah. 2007.
Well, as far as I'm going to watch.
I saw the first episode of The Munsters. I'm really looking forward to seeing where this goes.
This thing may have a future.
I started I got through the first half of Knives Out.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the first
movie.
Have you seen it, Mike?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, really?
No. I heard mixed things about it.
Is it British?
I was really looking for a review. No.
No.
It's
a mystery, right?
Well, again, I've only seen the first third of it. It seems like kind of Clue.
Why are you watching movies in thirds?
First of all, shut up.
Like, you should watch a movie in its entirety. Make time to watch a
movie.
The
other movies I've seen are very long. I watched Netflix. What's that long?
Irishman?
Yeah. Too long, right? So I watched it in very halves. Long. The movie with Brad Pitt and DiCaprio, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Did you like it?
Almost 3 hours. Watched it in two parts. This one, we were watching it last night and fell asleep. And so paused it, obviously. I can't do long. What she said.
Okay.
But I can't do long.
All right. It's 2.5 hours,
That's so long. I like a movie about an hour 47 minutes.
That's been our whole life, though. Our whole life we've been watching movies that long. 2 hours.
Hour 47 minutes is about my perfect time.
Okay.
Yours, Mike?
I'd say, like 150. If it's 150, it's solid.
By the way, check out Mike's podcast, Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. Joe, have you seen Knives Out?
Not yet.
No. Dang, nobody has seen Knives
Out. Sorry, dude.
Despise bands that are crazy successful, and let's start with Nickelback. Really one of the most successful bands of all time. This
is how many hits?
Let's see here.
Under 10.
Nickelback sold over 50 million albums.
Dang, okay.
They rank as the second best-selling international act in the 2000s. Who do you think they're behind? The second best international act of the 2000s, only behind one act. I bet I know who you're going to say.
The 2000s?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. You don't know?
Radiohead?
The Beatles.
Oh.
More than U2, more than Radiohead. Really? More than...
Is this factual? All right, I look at Mike. He confirms.
Through nearly a decade, pop culture has been incredibly cruel to Nickelback. So, I've always been a lover of them more so than I think I would be because of all the hate on them. Like, I would just kind of sit at a 6.5 normally. Because they have songs we know and like. But because everybody hates them, I kind of feel bad for them. So I put them at like a 7.3 because of that.
Sometimes I think we get tricked into liking something.
What do you mean? But the songs are good. You
like,
sing them.
Like, sometimes I think that they're just on the radio so much that we're like, all right, whatever. And it's like, you say sorry. All right, it's not a bad song. But if you heard that once, I think 90% of the people that heard that once were like, this sucks.
I don't think so. I think there were a lot of songs you only heard once and never sang back.
Yeah, there are a lot. Yes, but I think we heard this too much.
So many number ones. So many number ones.
How many?
Do we need to look at we've looked at the list. It's like 8, 9, 10, 11 songs.
Yeah, all right.
They even had songs on Super Soundtracks.
Yeah, Spider-Man. I remember that one.
Mm-hmm. So you just want to be a hater because of Chad Kroeger's hair.
No.
Like, long and like. No. Yeah, you do. I don't understand the hate. Like, tell me why you're a hater.
I just, at the time that came out, to me, that was like, it's easy music. Sometimes it's just like...
But why isn't everybody doing it? If it's so, it's like Sam Hunt and Body Like a Back Road. People go, that song's so easy to write. Then why don't you write it?
I don't think I can write it. But I think that most people don't try to do that because they don't want to get stuck doing that. Like, all right, it's easy music. Like where's Nickelback now? There's no longevity in Nickelback.
There's no longevity in almost any of those bands in the 2000s or any decade. The fact, the longevity, 50 million albums.
Nickelback does a tour again and they sell out.
Yes.
They're touring this year, yeah.
They do.
I don't know. I don't know. That's just where my mind is with them. Just like
Because you've been tainted by the media.
No.
And I love the media. I'm not a media hater. But you listen to people say they suck. Otherwise, they would just go away and they'd just be a band you didn't care for at the time.
Well, why are they the most despised band?
Because it became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It became like it's cool to hate Nickelback. And I probably would, too, except everybody was hating on them.
So you just want to defend them.
Yeah.
All right.
They won't even do interviews because they know half the questions will be about everybody hating them.
Can you imagine? That'd be terrible.
They still sell a lot of concert tickets, and they'll probably still be laughing 10 years from now because they'll
all
be billionaires.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, people hate him? People hate him because they jam.
And now here's a little clip of Dave Matthews Band. He wakes up from Now, I'll say this. I love Dave Matthews Band. I think any criticism of them is unfair. I think they should have been put in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year because they were so different. Dave Matthews Band has sold over 33 million albums in the United States. In 2018, they scored the biggest week for a rock album in years and years. They have had the number one most consecutive studio albums. So they're basically a 90s college band. Right now, the band's worth an estimated $72 million.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I guess if you weren't in the 90s, early 2000s with them, you would definitely hate them because they continue to put out music. And I'll be honest, I never listened to it.
I do. I listen to some of it. I like the emo stuff.
You do?
I like emo Dave. We're sad. We're Dave Matthews. We're sad guy. I'm going to play a sad song right
like
now.
Like the last I remember of really listening to Dave Matthews was, Where Are You Going?
Yeah, Jan. I used to play that on the radio.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
But after that, I kind of fizzled out just because I love Dave. I was a huge Dave fan. I do love Dave Matthews Band. So I've never hated him.
Loose end,
cut.
I love Dave Matthews Band. So
yeah, suck an egg.
I give Nickelback a 7.3. What do you give them? We'll rank them all.
One.
Oh, what a hater!
Get out of here! Like, just that's, get off the map.
So stupid.
Erase yourself.
Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, a 9.
Yeah,
Dave Matthews Band is great.
I give him 8.5. 9 for me.
You're right. They changed music.
Yeah.
When a white
guy from South Africa.
Yes.
Getting a predominantly black band and a 15-year-old bassist.
Yes, who they had to sneak into bars because he wasn't old enough to play with them.
My manager put the freaking band together.
Amazing.
In Charlottesville.
Yeah, I know. I love that.
Okay, we'll move on. Let's hear a clip from Creed. We're lost, right over.
Has that always been in there?
Who cares?
Mike, did you add thunder to this?
I did add thunder to that.
Okay, so I love the Creed. I was part of the Creed revolution back in the day.
You're so dumb.
I went to Creed shows.
No, you did not.
I did. I went to two.
Did you pay for the tickets? Be honest with me.
I'm trying to think. I was probably in radio at the time.
Yeah, so you got it for free.
So I didn't have to pay, but I'd have to go. But
single,
I'd
nothing to
stay.
Do.
I'd have to stay. I played ping pong with Scott Stapp once.
Really?
He came in. He was like, hey, man, Scott Stapp.
You talk like that too?
Yeah. And I was like, hey, man, what's happening? He goes, you play any ping pong? And I didn't. I was like, yeah, of course. And he beat me like 15-0 and just walked out of the room.
Oh, he knew you'd never play.
Yeah. They've sold 58 million records worldwide, more than Nickelback.
They got tricked.
So they were, what? No. People
got tricked again.
No one's getting tricked.
You know why I didn't like them? Because he stole my boy's voice, Eddie Vedder. Like that was Pearl Jam.
You sound like DMX and John.
Pearl Jam
right now.
Owned Eddie Vedder owned that
he didn't
voice.
Own that, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, he was the first. Jeremy Smith, and then here comes this dude with arms wide open. When people do a Creed voice, they do an Eddie Vedder voice.
Okay, so this is personal. So this was called butt rock.
Excuse me.
The butt rock genre. Heavily distorted guitars. They say paint-by-number songwriting.
Boom.
Deeply graveling male vocals.
Paint-by-number songwriting. I love that.
A lot of that happens
so
here,
good.
Though.
Sure, but you can't deny a good song. And I don't hear good songs when I hear Creed.
I can list you a lot of them. My Own Prison.
I know the song.
Arms Wide Open. My Sacrifice. God, they had a lot of good songs.
Stop.
Okay, where would you put Creed? I give Creed 7.2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Below Nickelback. I'll put them at 0.5.
Wow. Below Nickelback?
Yep. Yep.
You like Creed less than Nickelback?
Correct.
At least Creed's American.
It's not about that. And then, I love the Beatles. They're British. Who cares?
Creed split apart, and then they were altered bridge, the rest of the band without Scott Stapp.
Is he okay now?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think he's had his moments in and out, but I'm not sure.
When that video resurfaced, that was like... People were worried for him.
He'll probably send you a cameo for $1.
See how much his cameo's worth?
See if Scott Stapp does cameos.
If it's less than $1, I'll buy one for you, Bones. I'll buy it right now. I'll give you my credit card.
Scott Stapp is on cameo. I get people all the time asking me, hey, will you do cameo?
Why don't you do it?
Because I don't want to do that yet.
You do that for free, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. How much do you think?
Okay. For real, I'm going to say a Scott Stapp cameo, $50.
I say it's high demand because it's a good
idiots
joke.
Like us.
It's a good joke to get Scott Stapp to call your friend. I would say $30.
Way off.
How much?
$500.
What?
Oh, my God.
Bones, you need to get on cameo.
Well, you could make some good money.
Wow.
I know. But do you guys look at cameo? There's some big people on there. Mike, I'll ask you this too. Do you look at cameo as a desperate thing?
A little bit, yeah. As like an extra way to like, oh, here I'm on cameo.
I feel bad for people.
Right?
Yeah, the celebrities that I don't know on cameo, I feel bad for them.
If I got on cameo, people would be like, all right, you're trying to milk everything for money now.
But isn't everyone, doesn't that kind of tell you that everyone is a celebrity in a weird way? Like, we don't look at that list. Really, if you look at that list, you'll probably only see like 20 people that you really know.
Probably more than that, but.
More?
But yeah. But Jake Owen like does it for charity. He doesn't give money.
So yeah, that's cool. But yeah. And I look, and not a lot of people do that. Yeah. Like really not a lot.
How much was Jake for charity, Mike?
Let's see.
I thought about doing this cameo game on the air, but I thought it would give him a bunch of free promotion.
Cameo?
Yeah.
It's a good bit.
Jake's $100.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Moderately priced, and he gives all the money away.
And Scott's down $500. Crazy.
Yeah. Smash Mouth. And here's a clip from Smash Mouth. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid. So, I will compare Smash Mouth to another band later in this list where they didn't end up how they started out. They kind of had some success, and it just altered what music they made because they realized they could be superstars with massive hits.
Right.
And so they were a ska punk act, and they were a legitimate ska punk act. By the way, they'll be at their anniversary is like 23 years tomorrow.
Wow. And they're still going.
So they were in a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, they were. I saw them in a commercial today.
It kind of is a joke, but yeah. Right. Steve Harwell from Smash Mouth is on there.
Cameo?
Yeah.
It'd be cheaper than Scott Stapp.
Smash Mouth has sold more than 10 million albums, but they had hits with the very down the middle stuff, like All Star, Walking on the Sun, I'm a Believer, which is a remake from the Monkees.
Yeah. That was on the movie Shrek.
Shrek, yeah. And so, you know, they started to go, wow, we're mainstream famous doing not that ska or punk stuff. But they had Walking on the Sun. Feels like I'm walking on a bam,
dun, dun. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good song.
So they had this pop stuff, and they started to go, why are we making this ska punk stuff when we can just do the pop stuff?
I don't hate them. I've never hated them. Like, even when they came out, I liked their sound. The Walking on the Sun sound was really cool. I mean, I liked it all the way. And I don't hate on bands making money. Like,
you just hated on Creed.
No. Creed was just terrible. Creed was terrible. And
they weren't.
And the fact people loved them, like, get out of here. No one loved Creed.
No one loved Nicole. Yes, they did. They've sold 50 million albums.
No one loved
Creed. I've went to two different shows.
Smash Mouth, like, if you find a way to be 50 and still make music and making money, do it.
Smash Mouth has allegedly had a beef with Smashing Pumpkins for years. That'd be a funny fight. After their catchy anthem was picked over a song for Shrek. Because they were...
Oh, wow.
Smash Pumpkins had a song up for it.
Billy Corgan was fighting for a Shrek spot. See him...
Aren't we all?
Him to me, though, he'd be on Cameo for sure.
Billy Corgan?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's see. Is Steve Harwell on Cameo?
He's not, or the band is not.
Wow. See if Billy...
Because they're still making money.
I bet you Billy Corgan's not, though.
I don't know. Some of the business decisions I've seen him make.
He is not.
Give me your Smash Mouth ranking.
I'll put him at 8.
That's really high.
Yeah, because I like Smash Mouth.
10 is John Mayer to me and Garth Brooks.
Oh, you're right. Let me bring him down a little bit. I'll go 5 then. 5, right down the middle.
I give him a 3.8.
Wow, why so low?
I don't like Smash Mouth that much.
Why not?
They let me down. I was in way more into their early stuff.
They let you down.
I mean, I give him a 4.
Watch the end of Shrek when all the cast members are singing?
But that's no, I didn't.
That's good stuff.
Right, but that's what people know them for now. I don't know them from that. I just know them from the early radio stuff that I played. I'm not a hater.
Example. I bought my son an electric guitar, and we just plugged it in today for the first time. And he's like, and I held it, and he goes, can you play Smash Mouth? Like, out of nowhere, he asked that.
So there's a different connection to
And you. He's 12 years old. That's cool, man.
What if he were to say, Dad, can you play Creed?
No, I mean, get out of here. No.
He'd break
You're
guitar,
grounded.
He'd smash it over your knee. Hated band, Insane Clown Posse. I'll play you a clip of
Never
ICP.
Really, yeah.
So their whole thing was they're painted up. I would say like Kiss, right? They had a whole paint thing. They're white rappers. They are kind of grungy, chubby. Their songs are about sometimes death. Like weird stuff, right, Mike?
Yeah, pretty weird stuff.
Mm.
And so like a lot of like horror.
What year was this? Like 2000s?
Before that.
Really?
I would say before that.
I remember hearing that, but I didn't know who sang that. I didn't really even try to research who sang that.
And they were very independent. But they made a lot of money. Last year, Psychopathic, the record label, made more than $10 million.
Last year?
Mm-hmm. They have the Gathering of the Juggalos, a three-day festival. It's been going on for almost 20 years.
Joe just shook his head like he knows. Big fan.
You like ICP?
I'm okay with them. But yeah. I've researched the thing.
What's the thing?
It's like everyone paints up like clowns.
Oh, you mean the festival?
The festival.
And they spray soda on each other.
Really?
It's real weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
try that, Bones, next year.
I don't know enough about them to give them a real rating because I was never into them enough to not be into them.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
I feel like all the rest of it we were so exposed to, we could hate them or love them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it an I, my number, an incomplete, because I don't really have exposure to them. I would know, you know what I know the most from is Howard Stern. They would go on that show all the time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In interviews.
Did he like them?
Liked them as people. I don't know if he liked their music. He said they were nuts. Yeah. Limp Bizkit.
Ooh, it's a good one.
11. Go. I love Limp Bizkit. I loved them. I love them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All of them, all the tenses.
See if Fred Durst and I cameo. People, they did a ranking of most obnoxious acts of all time, and Limp Bizkit is most of the time at number one in all of these. They are, let's see, there's a lot of stuff written here about them. They killed 90s music. Mm. They kind of came in after the grunge stuff,
they did.
Though.
Yes.
You know what grunge did to the hair metal, the glam metal.
Yep.
Limp Bizkit, that's what Limp Bizkit Korn, did. POD.
That's right.
That was kind of the group that, like, big, anthemic,
mm-hmm.
Heavy, distorted guitar, but rap.
Yeah.
White guy rap over it.
And that was early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. Could not get enough of it.
There was definitely a kind of person that was into that, but I think.
Me.
What is that? And what kind of person were you?
Just me. I'm the person.
It was just felt it in your heart.
I have a friend who's both of our really close friends, Brandon Ray, and he'll text me and be like, dude, let's go drive around and listen to Limp Bizkit.
And the thing is, there you go.
He's not kidding.
No, we've done that a couple times.
We'll go drive around and catch up and listen to Limp Bizkit.
Who I really did think they were interesting. Who was their guitarist, Mike?
Monkey.
Wes?
Wade? Isn't it Wade something?
Wait, wasn't it Monkey?
Yeah, they did call him Monkey.
Yeah.
But he, his real name was like...
Yeah, I don't know, really know. Just,
they called him Monkey, right?
Just, yeah, yeah.
But he was... I remember him. He looked...
Wes Borland.
Wes Borland.
Monkey, right?
Yes, it was Monkey. I remember that for sure.
And then Kentucky Fried Chicken Head.
Who's that? Oh, was it the bassist?
Isn't that Guns N' Roses?
Maybe.
Your Buckethead.
Buckethead.
You're talking about Buckethead. Oh. He wasn't in Limp Bizkit.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
But it was something interesting about them. I never was into them. And I would be the one that would go along and say that they did kill...
Don't do that.
Music.
Don't do that.
For that moment. Because at that time, I remember specifically the Strokes were doing their thing. And Limp Bizkit and those guys, everything you said, POD and all those guys, were doing their thing. And I wanted the Strokes to hit so hard so they can just get rid of whatever was happening with music there. The Strokes, Franz Ferdinand, all that movement. I'm like, fight, 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 and get rid of all this junk. Mm. While you and Brandon Ray were out, like, loving life.
Loved them. I remember on Napster, whenever Fred Durst and Aaron Lewis did It's Been a While. Maybe It's Been a While. Or yeah. No, because I'm on the outside, I'm looking. That's what it was.
Fred Durst did it
live on that tour. It was
I remember that.
It was like, Fred Durst, everybody. It's great. It's great. They used Limp Bizkit's music to torture criminals.
I get it.
They would, like, take these people from other countries.
Is that real? Do they really do that? The tortured mm-hmm. thing where they play music?
Mm-hmm. They often do Limp Bizkit.
Okay.
Whatever. I loved it. I thought the coolest thing on MTV was when Fred Durst was listening to his own music. He was like, I love my own music. He turned it up and drove off.
What a douche.
Yeah. I'm not arguing. It's not. I mean, of all the bad bands, they're probably the highest for me. Maybe my scale was wrong. Maybe we should have just done a bad band scale.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I put Smash Mouth so high.
Well, then 9 on the bad band
scale. Oh, really? On the bad band scale? I'd put them at 4. I didn't mind it because there were some songs that they came out. So it was pretty cool.
God, they had so many.
And then Monkey to me, it was really interesting.
But let's see. Mike, pull up the Limp Bizkit playlist.
Okay.
They had so many, dude.
Yeah.
They had When they did the
what was the cover they
behind
did?
Blue Behind Blue Eyes.
That's good stuff.
Cause our dreams, they are so empty. Faith.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna have faith.
So they started. This was their first,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So they started with a cover, which is.
Yeah. They used to play this on MTV like crazy. And that one scene when it goes, the whole crowd jumping up and down.
Yes. I remember that. I mean, like, wow.
Angry white kids that really had nothing to be angry about.
That was grunge, too. Yep. Angry white kids. Your life is good.
Yes. Why are you so mad? This song was the jam. Oh. What else you got in there, Mike?
You got Break Stuff.
Oh, yeah. Break Stuff was a jam. Play this one, too. It's just one of them things.
Of course.
Yeah.
Rolling my way.
Oh,
my
rolling.
Here, keep rolling.
Yeah, it's my way.
My way. You're the highway. Back up. Tell me what you want to do now. Man, this is a jam. This still comes on. I'm like, where did this go?
Where does this come up? What stage are you listening to when this comes?
Maybe in my head. Okay, so what else? Rolling, what else?
My Generation.
Jam. Oh. Do you know this one?
No, I'm thinking. Let me see. John Otto. Take him to the Matthews
Bridge. This is rock and roll.
Okay.
It's rock and roll people that want rock and roll. It's rap people that want rap. Those guitars. What else you got?
Those are the biggest streaming ones, yeah.
And then they had Behind Blue Eyes. You know, sing that originally?
Yeah, The Who. Come on. Did The Who sing this one too? Is that a... Oh, listen to that.
This is good.
This was good. I remember when this came out. My friend Dave in college was so into them, and I was...
No one knows what it's like to be the sad man.
No one knows what it's like. It was cool that he wasn't screaming too.
Yeah, and the whole never in the song, mm-hmm. I don't think. To be the sad man. It makes them sad and bad. Behind blue eyes.
This monkey harmonizing. And
no one knows what it's like to be hated.
Mm-hmm.
To be faded. Yeah.
To telling only lies. Take a bounce.
But my dreams, they are as empty as my conscience seems to be. All right. Thank you, Mike. We could go down. You love them. That's the thing.
No, I
all
don't.
These bands, you just you love their songs privately.
I don't,
privately.
I don't.
This is, yeah. And here's another one. I mean, what do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4. We got a bunch.
A lot of hated
maybe
bands.
I don't go through all of these, but we can roll over something quickly. But this one is one that switched up their sound once they had a bit of hit, and it was Sugar Ray.
Oh, yeah. All the things that I used to say, all the
words that got in the way. So their deal was
out the window.
They were hard.
Yeah, they were really hard. They were on tour with, what I think, who we just played. What's the band we just played?
Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit and like 311. That's what they were categorized as, that kind of band.
Their whole first record was hardcore except for Fly.
Yeah.
It was...
Yep.
And then they had that one song, I Just Want to Fly.
Yeah.
And that song blew up. So then they were like, F this.
Yeah, take the distortion
off
a little bit.
Let's do fun pop, sing-songy. They had a good-looking frontman, Mark McGrath.
Yeah, who later was a host on some TV show.
Probably still is, right?
Is he?
On Extra?
Extra. Mm-hmm. That's how good of a band they were. No, but I like them. I really did like them. And I liked Every Morning. Dude.
That's my least favorite one.
Really?
It was one of their biggest ones.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
Yeah. The Goo Goo Dolls. And
why would people hate them?
I loved the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah, they're good.
Loved them. Because they were so manicured.
So?
All the sappy songs like Iris and Sly.
It's good stuff.
I agree.
Oh, okay. You're not arguing with me?
He had the long hair.
Yeah, he was beautiful.
Yeah.
It's good looking.
I think they hated him for that, for the most part. Train.
Kind of hated them. I loved Meet Virginia, though. That's the one where I liked him at the beginning, and then they went really pop. And I guess props to them, because they really did change their music with every single time music changed. Like, they went from Meet Virginia all the way to... what's the I guess Hey Soul Sister. No, there's the ukulele one.
Well, they have a new one too that came out.
Yeah, they keep going, and it sounds like, okay, it fits with whatever's on the radio still.
He's such a good singer. I've never thought even that they were in that group of lame bands. This is
there you go.
I love them. I have nothing to bad to say about them. I hate they made this list because I can't do it.
I'm split because I love bands that have backbones. They stand for something, or they're like,
but they do. They stand for something.
They just change. They evolve with the time, which is cool.
But so do we
as
humans.
It's hard.
What if people said Eddie changed over his life? He just didn't have a backbone.
But it's hard to do. Like, it's hard for bands to do. Aerosmith did it. You know, they were one that did it, where like they were hardcore 70s classic rock, and then moved to, you know, 90s kind of pop.
They have backbone.
They're able to do it. Not a lot of bands are able to do it, but they didn't. The fact that you can mold is kind of like you're a chameleon. You can just kind of do whatever, which is cool in a way, but at the same time,
the greatest.
You stand
it's
for nothing,
Maroon 5's
man.
Doing.
Another
they
band.
They put freaking dist.
Are they on the list?
Yeah, they'll get there.
Yeah.
Matchbox 20. I'm not crazy. I'm just a little
unwell. I know right now you ready? Can't tell. One, two, three. Love them.
Yeah, love them.
Great.
Can't get enough.
They're so good.
They put out a record now. I'm listening.
Of course.
Yeah. Heroically vanilla pop is what this says. It was just straight.
Who said that?
White America vanilla pop. One of these articles. Hootie and the Blowfish.
Come on.
This is their 10 for me on the scale. They're my favorite. I love them. One of the biggest bands of my lifetime. Love them.
And people hated them.
Because it was the people that really didn't want to let grunge music go.
I got a bootleg one time, a Pearl Jam playing this thing with, it's called the Bridge School Festival. Bridge School, I think, benefit concert in San Francisco. Neil Young puts it on, and a lot of bands, there are like 30 bands, and they raise money for this Bridge School, which is school for, I think, handicapped people, and people with physical disabilities. And so Hootie comes on in this bootleg, and you can hear everyone, because this is the time where like people just got camcorders and recorded the show. And you can hear everyone like, blank Hootie, get off the stage. You suck, Hootie. Like everyone around them, like, dang, dude, I never knew people hated him that much.
They just hated him because they blew up so much. Like, they wouldn't hate him if they were just a band playing. But because they were so massive, people, the bigger they got, the less people liked them. But
and so good.
In 1995, that record, Cracked Review, went 16 times platinum. 16 million records.
It's crazy.
But they couldn't catch a break because people didn't want to say goodbye to grunge music. I loved them. I still love them. My favorite.
Have you seen them
Mm-mm.
play?
Mm-mm.
I mean, now, once they came back.
Oh, back in the day, I did.
Yeah, I know you did that.
I had iHeart Festival.
Oh, okay.
And they were great. But I haven't seen them like at a Hootie show. I could never get out there. Maroon 5 is another one here. You know, they're like, Maroon 5 was a super talented act that sold out. That's one of the sellout acts. Moves like Jagger. I've got the moves like Jagger. I've got the moves like Jagger. You know, they were a rock band.
Yeah.
And now they'll put any kind of music in there. But I like their stuff. But you're right. There's really not passion for them. You never get people that go, I'm the biggest Maroon 5 fan.
Because they stand for nothing. It's just they keep doing.
But they make a lot of money.
They do make a lot of money. And props to Adam Levine.
And they played the Super Bowl last year.
They did. I feel like he could have just left that band and just continued Adam Levine. But to leave them Maroon 5 and keep doing what they're doing is really cool because no one knows who the band is.
Imagine Dragons. People hate Imagine Dragons.
Really? Sellouts? Is that why they hate him?
Even like other rock bands hate him. Like Slipknot got into a whole thing, right, Mike?
Yeah. Corey Taylor hates Imagine
really?
Dragons.
He said they're worse than Nickelback, where Nickelback wasn't number one.
Oh,
but now
gosh.
Yeah. And so, but people hate him because I think they're so generic, white, angry guy that lifts weights rock.
Sure. Wears little shorts.
Like bro rock.
Yeah. I get that. I don't agree with but I get it.
They make good songs.
Yeah, I like all their songs.
Anything you think was missed on this list? It's kind of compiled from a bunch of different stuff.
No. I mean, the first ones I thought were Creed and Nickelback for sure.
Your favorite of all those bands?
Dave Matthews Band.
I go Hootie. Your least favorite of all of them?
Creed.
Hater.
0.5.
Hater. My least favorite. Mostly these are all my favorite bands.
This is the music I love. I still listen to.
I would probably put Smash Mouth there.
Really?
Because Insane Clown Posse was an incomplete. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Mm. Did you like Stained?
Yeah.
Oh, you're like, oh, yeah.
I did. Then I got into a huge fight with Aaron Lewis recently. Well, 2-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. The lead singer is doing country now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really have a problem with him. I don't even know why we got into it.
I don't know why you get in with anyone.
I don't either anymore. I forget why I get into fights with people. I used to. I think I was on sleeping pills a lot back
probably.
In the day. But he, I think it was him. He was bashing Luke Bryan and Sam Hunt. That's what it was in a clip. And I was like, shut up, dude. You're just only doing this because you're trying to do country now and it's not working.
Yeah.
But I think that's why. I have no problem with him now. But I'm pretty sure that's why. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll talk about new music and music stories after this.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com. Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833. All right, new music out this week. Sam Hunt has a new song called Hard to Forget. Here you go.
Is that a sample?
Yeah, that is. Let it play. It's my first one today.
I saw your sister at work. I saw your mama at church. I'm pretty sure I saw your car.
Mike, you know that sample?
Yeah, it's Webb Pierce.
Ah, Webb Pierce. He's the one that owned the big swimming pool.
Isn't that crazy? He took a classic country artist. Yeah. Made it sound new hip hop.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah.
I love this.
To us. But some of the haters
people
are like,
going to hate the song?
Yeah. All the people that are like, this is not country.
No, this sounds so good.
I think it sounds really good for what it, like, for Sam's music. Like, Sam knows who he is. You've got a cold heart
and cold hard truth. I got a bottle. I feel like Sam's music has, like, a theme of even, like, the sad songs. There's still just a good, happy feel from all his music. Like, even like just like Cop Car, it's just the whole story of Cop Car is like, it's not fun, You know, it's like, oh, they fell in love, whatever, they're breaking the law. But it's got such a cool feeling to it. Like, I just love the way he writes. I love all his songs.
He didn't write Cop Car. Oh, he did write Cop Car.
Yeah, he wrote
Cop
Car.
Put it out. That's mm-hmm. right. That was the one that they had the big fight over. He wanted to keep it.
Yeah.
But one of his other writers gave it to Urban. It's a whole thing. Aubrey Sellers has a new record called Far From Home. Here is One Town's Trash. Also, Cadillac 3 have a new album called Country Fuzz. Here is Jack Daniel's Heart. Who broke Jack Daniel's heart? Whoever broke Jack Daniel's heart? They yeah. make it Tenille Towns, Holding Out for the One. Here's this song. I'm a boy, say, hey, take a ride with me. Oh, pretty little things stay the line with me. She has a new EP out called Road to the Lemonade Stand. And then Abby Anderson has a song called I'll Still Love You. When the I was thinking about this. Of all these people, there are Bobby Cass with Abby, Tenille, Cadillac 3, Aubrey Sellers, just not Sam yet.
Mm.
But we got four of the five. If you want to go back and hear me interview them all.
Did you interview Jared from Cadillac 3?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Justin Bieber and Quavo, Intentions. Picture perfect, you don't need no filter. Gorgeous, make them drop. Again, I'm on a Bieber kick right now. Green Day, Meet Me on the Roof. Here you go. The Green Day's new sound kind of feels like a mixture of old Green Day and the Strokes.
See, I hear Smash Mouth in there.
Shut up. There's no Smash Mouth. Meek Mill with Justin Timberlake, Believe. I saw Meek Mill at the game when I went to the Knicks game.
Oh, did you?
He was sitting like four seats down from me. They put me on the freaking court
yeah,
side.
Court side.
And I was by far the least famous.
Was Jay-Z there too?
No, but Mary J. Blige was. It's Mary J. Blige, Meek Mill, Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy, John McEnroe, the tennis player.
What?
It was one of the girls from This Is Us. It was super famous. Robert Kraft. And they're like, they take all of us. I'm in this group. They're like, okay.
Robert Kraft was there too?
And they take us to the back room. And it's like where they put all the celebrities. And again, I know I'm not a celebrity, but everybody that had a free course I'd see, they take them back and we're all in this back room and everybody's just kind of talking, except for me, because I didn't know anybody. Yeah. And they were all like, who is this guy?
They didn't recognize you from Dancing with the Stars?
They did not know, you know.
Really? Wow, yeah, okay.
I know. It was weird.
Yeah, it's got to be awkward.
I was back there with all, Meek Mill was back there. And I went up to Meek Mill and I said, Meek, what's up? And I raised to give him, have I told you the story yet?
I think so.
I raised to give him a high five and he looks at me like, he didn't lift his hand up.
What?
To try
then
to get
this is in
fire.
The private room where this all the celebrities are.
As Rives were walking into
get
it,
get out of
like,
here.
I was like, Meek Mill. I was like, Meek Mill, up here. And he looks at me and just goes,
"That's crazy.
It's awesome."
See, I want to be like that someday.
Yeah,
I would never be able to look like, at someone like that and be like,
yeah, "I'm right. good."
That's he crazy. Just said that. He went. I love the story though.
That's a great story. Yeah.
The new number one album in America is Lil Wayne with Funeral. Here you go. I didn't even know he put out a new record.
Wheezy.
You didn't listen to it?
No. Is it good?
It's pretty good.
Is he old yet?
He's still little. Because, I mean, he's still going to look young, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Even when he's going to be even when
but
he's
I mean,
old.
Is he considered old in the rapper world, Mike?
Good question.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, his biggest album was like in 2008, so. And they look
like they sound Funeral is the number one Lil Wayne. Number two is Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial from Roddy Ricch.
You don't know who that is?
Mm-mm.
All right, good.
Music to Be Murdered by Eminem is the third again this week. So there you go. Little Big Town says there are no lead singers in their band. A bit misleading because
yeah.
Karen sings most lead vocals.
Right.
Occasionally Kimberly will and occasionally Jimmy will. But okay. They say they're all splitting the money the same. They're like, hey, we have to pick a lead singer. We're like, no, we're not going to do that. So they say they didn't pick a lead singer. 10 of the 13 songs in the new album, Karen sings.
Probably a respect comment, though, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Towards the rest of the band.
Halsey went off on a guy who was shouting her ex-boyfriend's name during her show.
What?
It was a pre-Super Bowl show. This happened about a week or so ago. Some idiot in the audience kept yelling, G-Eazy. And she actually went looking for the guy. She said, if you say G-Eazy one more blank in time, I'll kick you out of this building. Here is a clip.
In the club. And you were drunk. If you say G-Eazy one more time, I'll kick you out of this building. You want to get on the phone? Who is it? If you? Who's G-Eazy? Who's yelling at me? Because I'll kick you out of
disrespect me like that. Somebody should do that in Miranda's show. Blake! Well, just to get that reaction. Don't respect
Someone
me, man.
Someone will beat you up. For her, people will beat you up.
Probably, yeah.
Like that wasn't a Halsey show. It was Halsey doing a pre-Super Bowl show. So it wasn't like all the Halsey hardcore fans. If you did that at like a Miranda show with all Miranda people,
somebody would
beat you up. Yeah. Noel Gallagher, they say, may have turned down $130 million for an Oasis reunion.
He's the guitarist?
Liam Gallagher tweeted that he and his brother Noel were offered $130 million for a tour, but that number was, quote, not enough for the greedy soul.
They hate each other.
Noel was the greedy soul. Did you watch the documentary?
Oh, gosh, I feel like I started it. And it came out a while back, right?
A few years, yeah. It's good.
Yeah, I started it and I never finished it.
Really good.
They just fight so much, man. Like,
it's like the freaking Black Crowes.
Yeah.
Those two finally probably broke, and that's why they got back together.
Yeah.
I don't even know that for sure, and they're coming to do my show soon.
We'll find out for sure, I guess.
Yeah. The Rolling Stones and the Grateful Dead are going on tour.
Well, who of the Grateful Dead?
The Stones will finally begin the North American leg of the tour on May 8th in San Diego. They had to cancel it last year because Mick Jagger had heart surgery. Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Dead and Company, John Mayer, will hit out this summer. Wrigley Field, Fenway, and John Mayer will be
playing.
That's cool. I've never had interest to go to that. I'm the biggest John Mayer fan, but I don't care about watching him play guitar solo.
Yeah, they were playing Bonnaroo one night when I was there, and then we just left early. We didn't go.
Because of Dead and Company?
Just, I don't know. I just didn't really feel like it.
That's the deal. I think we're done.
Cool.
Feel good?
Yeah.
What do we learn from this? Limp Bizkit rocks.
That greed's still terrible.
Hootie is Hootie's never been bad. People should shut their freaking mouths.
And don't hate on Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah, I agree.
They're great.
They should have been put in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
All right, that's the deal. Thank you. Mike Dean, anything you want to add?
I think out of all those, I like Limp Bizkit now.
After changing your mind.
It kind of brought me back to like Trailer Park Days. That's all everybody listened to. And I'm like,
they're definitely a Trailer Park Band.
I think that's what it was.
Yep. Also, Matchbox 20 shouldn't have been on there.
Nope.
Goo Goo Dolls shouldn't have been on there.
Nope. I agree with you.
People are stupid. We'll see you next time, everybody. Thank you very much. Bye.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Su. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.